Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kimbo Camper. We always love talking to Kimbo Camper. We saw him at that Dolphins media up front that we did a few weeks ago over at Hard Rock Stadium.
When I was the keynote speaker?
Well, you bogarted a lot of time.
You know what? You were killing me. Let's ask Kim.
You weren't supposed to be the keynote speaker.
Let's ask Kim. Did I do a good
job? Ray Lewis, the upfront. Kimbo Camper joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Here is Kimbo Camper. Hello, Kim.
What's happening? How are you guys doing today?
So we did the that Dolphins media upfront a few weeks ago, yeah. And I was riding Crowder because everyone was told, we were told on our part, you had a different role, but we were told on our part, you have 45 seconds. So I got up there. Yeah. Joe Rose did his 45 seconds. I got up there. I did 45 seconds. And then Crowder, if you remember,
55, right?
He went about 3.5 minutes, but he was giving a motivational speech.
Crowder did 10 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah, and it was a motivational speech to people that have already made successes in their lives. Like, he thought he was talking to the Boys and Girls Club, but everyone there was a successful individual.
Yeah, let me teach you something, Channy. I'm going to teach you something right here.
What's that?
And I learned this from the great Jim Mandich, and it was reinforced by the great Joe Rose. If you're going to speak for more than 2 minutes, they got to pay you.
I like it.
That's excellent.
See, that's good advice. You just tell me be quiet.
That is excellent. Well, I was just tired of hearing from you, but he gives it a whole new meaning as to that's it. That's excellent piece of advice by Kimbo Camper. So Dolphins had a scrimmage on Saturday. We talked a little bit today about the Dolphins. What are your expectations going into this season? I'm having a tough time getting high expectations. That's just me. Crowder has higher expectations than I do.
Well, and I probably do too, because I just think that, you know, I think this is more an accumulation of a football team. They don't have the stars. You know, they got rid of Sue, and they got rid of Jarvis Landry, and they got rid of Mike Pouncey. But I also think they brought in guys that overachieve. And I said this at the deal with CBS. You know, in order for there are three things that have to happen for me, for this football team, to have a chance to compete for a playoff spot. And one is that they've got to overachieve because they don't have the stars in this football team. And everyone's got to lift their level of play. But I reinforce that by saying, well, you know, Adam Gase, while he got rid of the Sues and the Pounceys and the Landrys, he did go out and get guys that are known as overachievers. The Danny Amendolas, the Josh Sittons, Kilgore. O'Neal, the defensive end, guys like that, who I think can help and can help raise the level of play of the guys around them. But they've got to play over their head because they're not the most talented football team out there. I think the second thing is Ryan Tannehill he's got to shoulder the load. I mean, he's been out for a year and a half, missed a better part of a season and a half, and to me looks really good right now. But he's got to go out and play very similar to how he played in 2016. That's the second thing that's going to happen. And the third thing, and to me, this is probably the easiest thing to resolve, but they've got to figure out a way to do it. If they can eliminate half of their penalties, then they've got a shot. Because then they don't have to worry about going into games and beating themselves before they go and try to beat the opponent. So I think those are the three things that happen that has to happen. And I think each one of those things has to happen for it to be successful. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, I think you're starting to see some of the young guys coming in. Gesicki is having a good camp and seems to be stacking good days together and some of the other guys. So, look, I think they've got an opportunity, but they can't go give games away. They can't those you know, that game against Tennessee that they play in the middle of the season, or Tampa a couple of years ago that was horrible when they came in. They can't lose those football games either. So this team has to play at their best each and every week if they want any chance to be dancing around the postseason at least a little bit.
Hey, Bo, when they got rid of Landry and Sue and made the big changes this offseason, you heard the word culture a lot. I think I've asked you a couple months ago about the culture. Now you've seen some, you know, some real camp. You've seen what they're implementing. You've seen the new team. You see what they got. Yeah. Do you see a change, a real change in how this team goes about their work and really plays football, that culture change that we got sold on?
That's hard to say, Channing. I mean, because, you know, you can talk about culture change. You can, you can demand it. You can make T-shirts. You can put slogans on the wall. You can do all that stuff, but until your football team goes out and plays a meaningful game and doesn't continue to do the same things that they've done over the last, you know, decade and a half, maybe more than that, then we'll see. You know, if they can eliminate their penalties, if they can be more effective in the red zone, if they can put more than 17 points on the board per week, they'll have a chance. But they can't do it by talking, and they can't do it by slogans and this and that and culture changes. Guys got to go out and play, and they've got to go out and play well, and it's got to mean something to them. And they should be pissed off every time a guy jumps off sides or something. You know, I know he's got them running gassers and this and that, but these guys got to take it upon themselves. So this is up to each and every one of these guys, you know, having this season be – having them be nothing more important than winning football games this season, then you'll see a culture change. Right now, I think it's talk and it's speculation.
And, Kim, you talk about those new names, a lot of guys that we haven't heard of in the rookies and Albert Wilsons and even the Danny Amendolas that we know of, but we've never seen him play in a Dolphin uniform. Who's impressed you? What one of these unproven guys to Dolphin fans can you tell us, hey, take it easy, this guy's going to help us this year?
Well, I'll tell you, the kid that's really making noise is Torrey McTyre, the cornerback. He's been playing a lot with the first team. He's been making plays. He's been doing things. So I think he's a guy to keep an eye on, certainly during the preseason period, to see how this roster is going to shape out and who your starter is going to be. But he's been pretty consistent all along. I talk about Gesicki, the young kid. He seems to be coming along and understanding what his expectations are and what he can do. He's made some plays in the last week or so. Who else is out there?
What about any of them D tackles? Because Godchild got to play. Jordan Phillips. Somebody got to step up for Sue.
Godchild's played pretty well. Vincent Taylor's had a good training camp. Here's a guy to keep an eye on. As a guy, you know, last year it was Godchild that came on and caught everyone's attention. But all of a sudden now Vincent Taylor's kind of throwing people around, and he's making his presence felt a little bit. I think Charles Harris is another guy. You know, he had a pretty good play in the scrimmage, although he beat Gesicki, and that's not, you know, that's certainly not his strength. But I think he's coming on and playing a little bit better. So I think they've got a number of guys. But you know, Channing, you know, these guys all have to be. They have to be we guys. They don't have to be. They can't be me guys. You know, it can't be about them. It's got to be about. You know, I like when you talk like a Danny Amendola. And you talk to him about his game, and he starts talking about the other receivers, how they play off each other and how each one depends on the other to do their job and to be where they're going to be. And you hear it with the offensive and defensive line. You know, that's the way this team has to be.
Kim Bocamper is with us. You will see him and hear him all season long. It starts this Thursday, Dolphins and Buccaneers preseason game number one. Does it feel dramatically different? Does the team feel, you know, without Ndamukong Suh and Jarvis Landry and Mike Pouncey, does it feel dramatically different just being around everybody?
No, it doesn't have – well, look, this team, it's not like this team – not like when they traveled, there was a circus atmosphere. You know, it wasn't like, you know, they've been, you know, perennial playoffs and perennial Super Bowl kind of teams where when you travel, it does feel like you're a rock star or a circus going somewhere. They haven't had that, but whatever they did have of that with the Sue and with Landry and with the Pouncey, that's gone away. So it just seems to me it's a team of blue collar guys that want to play hard, want to play over their head, want to play as a unit. As I'm talking to coaches, I'm hearing about more guys that are their assignment concerns have gone beyond what their assignment is and what the other guys around them are doing. And guys wanting to know, look, I want to know what everybody on the, you know, Micah Fitzpatrick is a good name, young, good guy, young kid. We know how good he is coming out of college. But he's a guy that's put in a lot of, put a lot of time in since he came here to understand not only what he's doing, but what everybody else on the field is doing so he can play off of them. And I think we've got more guys like that on the football team this year. If it pays, well, you know, we'll see if it pays dividends as they go. But, you know, those guys, you know, I like the makeup of this team. Talent is the question that, that for me, is going to need to be answered the most.
And, Bo, with the running backs, there was a, you know, a depth chart released, and it was 1A, 1B, Kenyon Drake and Frank Gore. I don't really like that because Kenyon's a young guy. He can be the future running back of your team. We know Frank came in. Yeah. He's, what, 34, 35 years old. How do you feel about how they're, you know, how they're dealing with or divvying up the running back reps with the, you know, with those two guys? Because Frank's respected, Bo, but I think we need to get Kenyon the ball. We need to make him that feature back.
Yeah, but I don't – I wouldn't expect to see – I would expect to see Kenyon getting the most of the carries during the preseason. I don't expect to see Frank really doing a whole lot during the preseason. And I think that the I think that depth chart, the way they've set the depth chart up, at least at the running back position, is more out of respect for Frank Gore. And because I think Frank is that guy, that's come in and he's I think he's as regarded as highly as a quasi coach as he is a running back right now, because he's helping everybody out there, all the running backs. He's more than willing to give them his experiences and tell them what he likes. And so I can see that, and it'll shake out. But look, it's not going to be Kenyon Drake's not going to get the ball 30 times a game, you know, between him, between Frank Gore. And you hope that Kalen Ballage can give you enough to where he can contribute during his rookie season. But I think that, you know, I think those carries are all going to get spread around to those guys. And the other thing is, you know, this team under Adam Gase, he likes a couple things. He likes two tights and he likes three tights, and he likes playing with two running backs in the backfield that can both run the football and both catch the football. And so I think you'll see Frank and Kenyon in there at times together to provide that situation on the defensive side of the ball where you don't necessarily need to be a nickel, but you can throw five receivers at a secondary and as the linebacker. So I think he's going to get a lot of playing time, but I think it's going to be a pretty solid rotation there. So I don't think they're going to, you know, if that answers your question.
Kimbo Camper, it all starts Thursday night. Dolphins and Bucks, we have been waiting a long time to get back into the season. I think last year around this time we were talking about what Jay Cutler is going to bring to the team. So already I think we're ahead of the game.
I can almost feel it already Thursday night. You know, that anticipation, that excitement, the chance that football's back and guys are back in their uniforms, you're in the stadium, there's people in the crowd, and then 5 minutes into the game you go, oh, jeez. It's a preseason game.
And I have the same experience every Hall of Fame game where I'm like, oh, it's finally back. I can't wait. I'm going to sit down and watch it. And you watch two plays. I can't even get through a series. You watch two plays. You're like, all right, I'll wait till September.
You get to the first commercial and you go, all right, what else is on?
See you, Bo. Appreciate the time.
All right. Take care, guys.
Kimbo Camper, true Dolphins legend right there. Keep talking about this stuff. I also saw a headline pop up on my son's Sentinel push notifications. Who had the NBA's worst offseason? NBA.com's David Aldridge says it's the Miami Heat.
Come on, David.
I haven't clicked on it yet. I don't know if it's clickbait or not, but I haven't clicked on it. All right, a lot of stuff to get to.
You know what I want to get to? Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. I
had a feeling.
Why wouldn't I want to go there? It is delicious. Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. They've been in the Hollywood, Florida area since 1951. They know what they're doing. Family owned and operated by the same wonderful family for all that time. Thousands of families have made Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market a tradition. If you haven't gone down there, you are missing out. Get down to 441, just a block south of Sterling Road, and check out Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. I'm going to tell you what the Crowders get every time we go in, and we eat three meals a day from Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. Walk in, you got to get your free-range eggs right there up front. Next to your crab dip and your fish dip, made at Delaware, and it's delicious. Just like the salads when you come around the corner, bean salad, potato salad, macaroni salad, and the conch salad is so good. Then come on around, you get your lamb, beef, veal, and pork. They'll cut it as thin or as thick as you want it. Whatever you need, they got you right there. Then you have your poultry, duck, and turkey, two different type of lobsters, 15 different type of shrimp, 20 different species of fish, locally caught and swimming daily, some filleted, some whole, some smoked. You got to get to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. Go to DelawareChicken.com to see exactly what you need. They got everything, way more than that. Venison, alligator meat, frog legs. Go to DelawareChicken.com to see the entire menu, and you can call them in advance. The food is fresh, the prices are amazing, and they're going to save you time. Call them in advance. Your order is packing and ready. When you get there, to save you time, get home to your family to eat that delicious food. 954-983-6831. That's 954-983-6831. And you got to try. Grilling out there is hot right now. Get on the barbecue and go get the chicken, beef, and pork kebabs. They're only $5.99 each. They come with the meat on there, all the vegetables. They are awesome. They're amazing. In themselves, you got to try them. The all natural young fries for $2.79 a pound. The Turks and Caicos conch, get that libido going. Make you a baby, $16.99 a pound. And jumbo shrimp, already clean, ready to cook, $15.99 a pound. You can't beat Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market, so don't even try. Get down to 441, one block south of Sterling Road, and check out Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. And when you get there, tell them Crowder sent you. Radio.com.
Other numbers,
the interceptions
that
aren't like
interceptions.
Urlacher had 40.
Was insane.
Yeah, Urlacher was stupid with that. But even like when you look at his numbers against the other linebackers lined up in the Hall of Fame,
he doesn't not belong.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Right. It's I've said this all the time. People know I love Zach, and I, you know, I give him a lot of my football. The reason I think I made it had something to do with Zach Thomas helping me out and really letting me mature and adjust to the NFL game. He's not a first ballot guy. I'll be honest with you.
But he should be in the like when they
he
show
needs one of them big ass gold heads up somewhere.
When they show, you know, like next year, here are people that'll be in the mix. Like his name should be there.
They're not even putting him in the pool.
Nope.
To get chosen.
I know.
That's what's killing me. Why? How can I do it? Do I need to keep tweeting the Hall of Fame, or what do I need to do?
Well, you're friendly with Jason Taylor. I would imagine he's got a little more sway than you do. No offense, because you're—I mean, when you're talking linebackers,
JT's not a guy to help others. He's more of a JT guy.
Wow!
He'll help kids.
Is that so?
I just don't see JT going to argue for somebody else to get in the Hall of Fame.
You don't think he'll lobby for Zach Thomas?
No.
I thought they were like inseparable brothers.
They're tight. They're tight. That's not JT. He's not made like that.
Play the Ray Lewis sound. He talked about playing with an injury. Maybe you can speak about this as to how painful this was. I loved Ray Lewis. And again, it's got that thing where it's like it doesn't matter what he's saying. The way that it's delivered is great. You said you were at like BJ's, and so the TV was on, but you couldn't even hear him. But you saw he had the Bobby Brown microphone on.
Yes.
So it was like.
Is he the first one to wear the face mic?
I don't recall anyone ever saying, I can't stand behind the podium. I just need to meander.
I gotta have my towel to wipe my face. I'm a sweat. Yeah, Ray went all the way in.
Here's Ray Lewis talking about playing with injury.
We were playing Dallas. Never forget it. I drop back and Romo drops back. And I'm like, pick your hands up. Just knock the ball. You done read this play. Intercept it. Put my hand up. When my hand come down, I hear a pop. My tricep pop from the bone. Ooh. Played about 6-7 more downs. And I got to the sideline. And Dr. Curra, who's sitting in this audience right now, she said, Ray, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you got a torn tricep, and nobody's never came back from an injury like this. I came back, and boy, did I come back. I am living proof of the impossible. There's somebody sitting home right now. There's a young 10-year-old kid sitting home that don't have a father, and he's ready to join the game. He's ready to give up. I'm telling you, don't give in, and don't ever give up. That ain't what we do.
Love it, man.
That ain't what we do.
I love it. Tricep pop off the bone. That sounds pretty painful.
It has to be extremely painful. I never had that happen, but I've had guys that tear their my dad did it. He tore his Achilles.
Oh, that sound. Whenever someone says, like, you cringe when you hear about it, like, really tore the Achilles.
Tore the entire thing. And I would assume this will happen with the tricep.
Because that feels like it's so tight. You know what I mean? Like, so.
To your point, why it's so tight is because it holds your calf to your heel. So if the Achilles is gone, your calf has no connection to your foot. So then your entire calf muscle rolls up into the back of your knee.
Oh.
I would assume his tricep rolled up into behind his shoulder, the back of his arm, which has to be extremely plain. You remember that big arm brace he wore the last couple years of his career? That was to keep his arm from going the wrong way and just dislocating. But Ray, I told the story before, a long time ago. Ray talks like this in all situations. Not even a story. This isn't even a joke. He opened, I don't know if anybody remembers, it's closed now. Great linebacker, maybe not a great businessman. He had a RL52 Realty. On Las Olas, right there by Tony Bosse's, Louis Bosse's, whatever it's called.
Louis Bosse.
Yeah, bought all that right there. Like Las Olas, the strip, the main strip. He had all.
I had no idea he was into real estate.
Not anymore, like I said. I don't know if he's a great businessman. But he had RL52 Realty. My wife ended up, she's in real estate, so she knew people and, you know, all that real estate is connected. So we ended up going to the opening, and I was the only other ball player there because it wasn't a football thing, it was a real estate thing. So I go there with Ray. He doesn't know me. I know he knows of me. I obviously know him. He's Ray Lewis. So I walk up to him and I introduce myself. Hey, Channing Crowder, man, I'm not talking about football. I'm giving him congratulations on your business venture. Hey, man, it's a beautiful area. You know, I hope you have a lot of success down here. Real estate's booming. You know, my wife, she's in real estate too. So, you know, good luck, baby. You know what it is? You know what this is? This is destiny coming to a peak. This is the pinnacle of what I've been doing with everything. And he went into this speech to tell me about, I'm just trying to say, hey,
so
man,
you
awesome
think,
job, man.
You think that he would, like, order at Pollo Tropical? Like, I want the Tropa Chops. Because when the chicken and the beans lay on top of the bed of rice, it is destiny.
Yes, that is action. And put some corn, because that chicken ate the corn, and I want the corn and chicken to be together.
It all comes together.
Consumed by me.
Like the number seven.
I honest to God. Because now, Ray, I'm good with gay. I'm
Here
honest
go.
To God. If you ever talk to Ray Lewis, if this is a facade or a joke, he sticks with it 24/7.
He's a method actor if this isn't true.
He is a method actor if he is not this, because every time I've seen him, this has been him about anything. A
couple other highlights from the Hall of Fame. Randy Moss. I happen to love Randy Moss. Randy Moss, what he says here about unfair media coverage, I didn't know. Like, Randy Moss to me seems like a great dude, but he was never portrayed as a great dude. And he talked a little bit about that.
I think you guys, the media, threw stuff like that around. I just wanted to play football throughout my whole career, man. And living a legacy, that's really nothing that I really thought about. And I think now it's just more of, you know, I'm rewarded late in my career. I get to put on a gold jacket regardless of the stuff that was written, the things that was said about me throughout my whole career. And the thing about it is it brainwashed a whole lot of football fans out in the world, you know. And I think it was very unfair to me. I think it was unfair to my family. So just being able to look back and reflect back, man, it's just, you know, I wouldn't change it. And I just wanted to play football, man. So now that I look back and reflect back and seeing all these cameras and all these positive stories written about me, it's still not fair, and I'm still not pleased with it.
Yeah, it was an interesting the way that he was covered throughout his career. I find him to be a great broadcaster.
Yes.
I love Randy Moss.
Why was he dealt with differently than T.O.?
I don't know.
Because Moss wasn't a great teammate. Remember when the Raiders, when he just stopped running routes?
Randy Moss, like, that was one of the knocks, that literally he would take routes off. If he wasn't really going, he didn't like playing the decoy. So he would take a route off.
They have a Twitter thing out there, one of those, with him literally the ball snapping and him not moving.
Not moving.
Him just standing there, the corner's chopping his feet, and Randy, the ball's not coming my way. They're running left. I'm on the right side. Why am I going to run a route?
Terrell Owens,
he spoke at
Tennessee Chattanooga?
Yes.
This is him talking about his mom as the real Hall of Famer.
And when they ostracized me and tried to keep me from what I rightfully earned, not once, but twice, I remember the text. You texted me, said, "You ain't got to worry about nothing. You were always a Hall of Famer to me." But mama, you are the real Hall of Famer. Thank you for being the best mama that you could be for me and my sisters and brothers. I love you. And for that, this is for you.
I think he made a big mistake not going. I thought it was a tremendous Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yep.
And you went there for JT. Like, that's something he will never get back. And that was, you know, again, with Dawkins and Urlacher and Lewis and Brazil. Like, it was, I just thought it was so good. And I thought he would have been great at it, too. I think he shortchanged himself.
I said it from the beginning, and I wouldn't know unless I went with JT's last year. The people, what's the board or whatever, how the hell, the folks that vote on it.
Right.
The voters, the media, all
whatever,
the people,
yeah,
whatever those voters are. The committee. There you go. I was looking for committee. You're always saying something slick. I know voters vote. Oh, you're okay. Always saying something slick. The committee.
You worry about coming up with something funny with traffic for Solana.
Okay.
Right.
So the committee didn't vote him in. You're mad at the committee. I understand that, T.O. You think you've been messed around two times in a row. You should have made the first ballot. And honestly, if you look at their numbers, he should have made the first ballot. Everybody knows that. But once you're in, it's about you, your classmates, and the other people. Like, it was cool to me to see Jason Taylor up there with Bradshaw and Franco Harris. You know what I'm saying?
And right, like all the other Hall of Famers that are there and giving them dap
Chris
and being
Carter.
Part of it.
Yeah, just, you know what I'm saying, Brett Favre's up there. Just that, where you now you're in this frat with the greatest players to ever play this game, and you're in the club now. You're in the cool kids club, and all the cool kids are there with you. And we went back, JT, obviously with JT, some of his buddies and family, we got to go to like the reception area where they had the food and drink. So you know those damn things are 7 hours long. So you could walk, you walk in to get a drink, you're standing next to Jerry Rice. Like I went and got me they didn't have beer and wine, no alcohol. I had to go get me a Chardonnay. I got a Chardonnay right after Jerry Rice got a beer. Like, that's the part that's cool that T.O. missed out on, where he would have been around the other greats, but he was hurt by the committee, where now the frat, the real players that respect what he did, now you're disrespecting them.
That's what I kind of felt, was you're kind of taking a little bit away, not that, you know, it took anything away, but that you're kind of, you know, using their night as well to make a statement when T.O. could have made any statement that he wanted right to the people there during his speech.
Like if Randy Moss
right,
did.
Like you really, like if he really wanted to call out the inequities in Hall of Fame voting, he could have done it there in Canton to the people that actually vote. And so I think he missed an opportunity. I think he kind of cheated himself, too. Doesn't take anything away. He's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer. But that's that little, oh, you don't want me, I don't want you either.
Right, which is petty.
It is so petty. Think about the guy. That class is a crazy class.
Unbelievable class.
And he's a part of it, but he wasn't there standing with those guys. Moss, Dawkins, Ray Lewis, Urlacher. Those are the guys I grew up playing with those guys in video games. Like, they were amazing. And he's in UT Chattanooga when the entire football world's in Canton. I guarantee, I don't know if it's 10 years, Hawk, 15, 20, he's going to say he regrets that. So at some time when he, you know, I guess, I don't know, take ego away, he's still talking about playing football in Canada. He's crazy. After the crazy leaves, I think he's going to say, you know what, I should have went to Canton with the boys.
You missed a soundbite by Ray Lewis. He was talking about how big his, like, arm brace was.
Oh, okay.
People don't really know how huge momentum is. Momentum is huge.
Momentum. He was talking about momentum.
Oh, I
there.
Must have got the words mixed up.
Play the little montage. There's a little montage of several of the speeches from the Hall of Fame inductions on Saturday night.
The majority of success that I have had have come on the back end of pain. And I wasn't just suffering through suicidal thoughts. I was actually planning the way that I would kill myself. So for those who are going through right now, there's hope. You do have hope. There is something on the other side of this. In the next 30 days, I want you to think about why you get up in the morning. What is most important to you in this life? Are you living every day to make this world better?
When the phone call came from Dave Baker, the senior Hall of Fame committee, and a few Hall of Famers, I began to hope and pray that football might be ready to love me back. And after all these years, I'm at home!
The only thing left at this time is for you to lead a life of quality and excellence and make this old world a little bit better place because you were in it. You can, if you will.
The history of this position is unmatched by any other team. Bill George, Dick Butkus, Mike Singletary, and now, I can barely say it, me.
We are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. God bless and have a good night.
Walk with me out of here today with a mission in your mind, in your heart,
Vow to be a leader in your community. Vow to be a ray of light in the world around you. Together, there's nothing we can't do. Hall of Fame 2018.
I love that. Hall of Fame 2000 is like Seacrest out. Hall of Fame 2018.
Ray Lewis is important.
He knew that if he said at the end, Hall of Fame 2018, that he was going to wrap up every montage, every video montage, every audio montage, because he gave that little clean ending that everybody's looking for. Savvy, man.
He was worried about the montages. Huh?
He was worried about, he had everything under control. Ray Lewis was ready to go. He just needs some antiperspirant. But there's no antiperspirant that could have, like, there was nothing, right? Nothing was going to stop him from sweating through that jacket.
He would have had to dive in a tub of antiperspirant.
That would have been great if he did the speech from the cold tub. He jumps in the cold tub at the end.
He sweat through it, all his clothes.
His whole
back was wet.
He was speaking.
The Reverend.
Reverend Ray Lewis.
My man.
All right. Let me talk about BNT services. You may be aware. Did I just see there's another storm forming? Is there a storm forming in the Atlantic? You have any word back there in the Sportsplex, Valero?
No, I just handle sports. I don't handle the tropics.
All right. Well, who handles the tropics for us? Hurricane season is here. Last hurricane season, we all got reminded just how important it is to protect our homes and our possessions and our families. So Hurricane Irma, I remember it vividly. Hurricane Irma was bearing down on South Florida. I thought it was going to make a direct hit on my house. And there were people on our block, you know, that are just eating a sandwich, getting ready for it. I'm like, I'm putting up plywood. They're like, I've got impact windows and doors. So my wife and I, we decided we're going to do impact windows and doors. We had lived in our house about 8 years. We knew that we wanted to do it. We finally made the leap. We called BNT Services so that we didn't have to be the plywood people anymore. Tom and Brett came out to our house. They helped us pick out the perfect PGT custom windows and doors. If you've been thinking about it, if you've been thinking about impact windows and doors for your house, you know, we're in hurricane season. Now is the time to do it. Don't wait any longer. BNT Services specializes in impact windows and doors with over 25 years of experience. Their staff will help you pick out the perfect PGT custom windows and doors that work best for you. So don't wait another day. Start the week out by calling them. Call my friends, Brett and Tom, right now at BNT Services. 954-233-0126. That's 954-233-0126, or you can go online to bntwindowsanddoors.com. You can get all the info right there. It's bntwindowsanddoors.com. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Let's see what we got going on here. 560 WQAM presents the 4th annual John Clayton Fantasy Football Draft Party with CBS Sports fantasy expert Jamie Eisenberg. It's almost time to start bringing Jamie on the on the show. That is Sunday, August 26th. It'll be 4 p.m. at Twin Peaks in Davie. You can draft your league with us, and John Clayton will be there. Jamie Eisenberg will be there. A lot of the QAM personalities will be there. And you can go to the table. They got a table. Everybody will be offering you advice. That's the way to do your draft. League commissioners get a $50 bonus card. Register now at WQAM.com. Space is limited. It's sponsored by Yangling. Tap into your inner eagle. And Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, and scenic views. Yangling, right?
Yingling.
Yingling.
Yingling. Yingling.
That was Yangling.
Yangling. You sound, you felt, made me feel at home.
Yangling.
That's how
like
country people
country?
Say it. Yeah, yeah.
I should play the voicemail.
I should do that, man. That was a heartfelt voicemail.
When I was going through everything with my mom, I talked about it earlier in the show. My mom passed away last week, and really since October, I've been going through, you know, just a heartfelt ordeal with my mom as she battled cancer and went to chemotherapy and radiation, and she finally passed last week, and I was traveling from Chicago and then back here, and then we were buried her in Chicago. I traveled back to Chicago, and Channing at one point, he left me a voicemail, and it was I don't know if she had passed yet or she was in hospice. I forget. But
no, when that voicemail was after she passed.
After she
and
passed.
I'm bad with like the day of stuff, so I let about 2 or 3 days. You know, I knew everything was going crazy, and then I was going to just call to check on my homeboy.
And the thing was, you know, I needed to hear from my partner. I needed to hear his voice. I missed, you know, people. By the way, I have been texting people throughout the entirety of the show because around 2 o'clock when I came on the air, I've just been flooded with texts, and I really have tried to text everybody back, but I'm going so far back now that I don't know who I texted and who I didn't and whatnot, but I appreciate all the texts and tweets. But Channing left me this voicemail, but man, your Southern drawl came out, but I think it's because you felt uncomfortable talking in compassionate tones. It's not your wheelhouse. Because I always tell people, know your wheelhouse, and that's not your wheelhouse.
No, no.
But man, he tried for me. It was, I'm telling you, it was so genuine. I'll play it for you, Falero, during the commercial break, because it was so genuine.
Yeah, I've been dying to hear it since you brought it up in the first segment.
I don't know. Look, I really, I don't want to embarrass
you. Look at yourself.
You never talk compassionate.
You know what? Let me hear it. I got to hear it first before you play it, because yeah, I don't. I think I cuss, don't I?
I don't think so.
I didn't even cuss. Oh, yeah, you got
no,
me
I'm telling
in rare
you, you
form.
Were like in compassionate.
And honestly, I didn't. I never thought I'd go to voicemail. I was just like, I don't know why. I never thought like, hey, you might have to leave voicemail. I thought we were going to talk because we do that every day. I'm cool talking with you. And then when I heard that, hey, this is Mark Hockman. Can you?
And then you like, couldn't hang up, right?
Yeah, now I'm panicking. I said, oh, it's voicemail time.
Hear some of what this was.
Hey, bro, just calling to check on you, man. I know you're busy and all, but yeah, man, just calling to check on you. Say we miss you. And...
Oh, he did curse. My bad. My bad. He did curse. My bad. You dumped that? We dumped that.
Dumped it, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I dumped
well,
it.
You heard the drawl, though, right?
Yeah.
Hey, man. Just calling because I love you, man. And hey.
We missed you.
Man, you know, that's all I had.
No, it was. I'm telling you, it was really nice. But as I said earlier in the show, so I don't need, like, I loved it, but I wanted my Channing back. So I texted him something that was incendiary real quick.
Yes.
And then I got an FU back, and then I just wrote, ah, because that's what I was looking for.
And I laughed, too. I was like, that's what he wanted.
That's
he wanted
what I
to
wanted.
Argue like
yeah.
we usually argue.
Yes, he gave me what I needed with the compassionate voicemail, and then he gave me what I needed with the FU.
And I'm telling you, I went back and looked. I would say 90% of our conversations end in me cussing at you.
Yeah, and then you're just bailing because
because you can't let go. You keep poking at me, so you.
But I appreciate everybody's well wishes. It was very heartwarming, very nice. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come right back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.